Welcome to Lady BizWiz, where we help you focus, execute, and get results as you take your business from concept to market. Today, we'll be hearing part two of a conversation on how to empower others in your business. We talk about how ego and competition can sometimes get in the way of this, and how it's to our benefit to have a humble, teachable, and gracious attitude as we work with others. Let's tune in now and hear the second half of this episode.
What empowers people the most is grace. And when you invest in them, it empowers them. And when you see them succeed at whatever it is, it empowers them. And it is the oddest thing that I don't understand fully, but I relish and adore, is that when I've always been in service to others, I have felt like I've always gained the lion's share. I've been healed in service. I've been elevated in service. I have been gifted with relationships that I didn't even know that I wanted to have just because I was willing to give to somebody else. And I've been disappointed. So don't get me wrong. Yeah. I've been disappointed in service too. But, you know, when you spend time to invest in people, the product will come. But it's really the investment in people and the empowerment of people that what I think at the end of the day, at least for me, is while I have to die to myself a tad bit, die to my ego, die to my agenda, what I end up getting is I end up getting so much more fulfilled, so much more empowered than I would have ever had I tried to do it my way.
I really think what we're talking about here, and this keeps coming up in my mind, is, you know, I feel like there's some people there, you know, there's kind of like two kinds of people. Some people think that there is just, if you imagine like all the money and resources and success, it's like a limited, if you could weigh it on a scale, it weighs a certain amount. There's like a limited amount of resources, of money, of time, of success. And then you have other people who think there's enough for everyone to go around. There's an unlimited supply.
Yes.
And if you kind of think about that, we could kind of even spiritualize that as sort of works versus grace, right? Like there's only so much and we've got to all fight and scratch and scrape to get our peace versus a grace mentality that's like there's abundance. There's more than enough for everyone to have a share. So if you have a share, if you have a piece of the pie, you're not taking a piece of mine away. It's really a poverty versus an abundance mentality, I think, that allows you to really empower other people and let other people grow even beyond you.
Yes, I do enjoy watching people. And again, I am competitive. Don't play games with me. I mean a game, not games, but like a game. like game. I love
played,
to play.
Have you played Throw Burrito?
Mm-mm. I like to play
we
games.
We played it last night and it was violent. You'd actually throw these little burritos at each other. It's, you know, there's duels and wars. It's intense. But our family loves it.
We were playing cards the other night and my team lost, but my team won the previous team. And I do love to win. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do love to win. And I guess this is how I view it at the end. If I'm on a team, does it really matter to me who carries the baton across the finish line? Do I win as a team? Does it really matter who is that? Do I want my greatest sprint, you know, if you're looking at that kind of team, do I want on a relay thing? Who do I want to take me across? Do I want it to be me so I have the glory of going, but I may not be as good as the person I'm about to hand the baton to, and we win as a team? I mean,
hopefully you put your fastest runner at the last. You know, you
and that's
position
your sprinter?
People according to your strengths.
Correct.
Right?
You position people according to your strengths. So I may not be the one that runs across the finish line, but I'm on the podium. I mean, I get to be on the podium because us as a team. So I do want to empower each person to their strengths to take us to where we need to be as a whole.
I remember watching American Idol, and Simon Cowell, you know, of course, was the big grump of the team always. And I remember him saying he was always fascinated by the generosity of American spirits, that you know, the people who waited outside the room to see if their family member, I mean, some of them would just break out in tears and jump for joy. And they weren't the ones going on stage, but they were so thrilled. And it really puzzled him that we could be so joyful for other people's success who we loved. He felt like it was very American. And I'm not sure if that's a stereotype that's true or not, but this conversation reminds me of that, because I think what we are talking about is a generosity of spirit that doesn't just think about ourselves. And we were talking about how this kind of even again, spiritually, you know, do unto others as you would have it done unto you, right? The first shall be last. The last, there's a spiritual principle of when we step down and allow others to step up, something really cool happens spiritually. We end up, like you said, being expanded in the process.
We do. And you just, you have to be willing to put your ego to the side. If you want to, I mean, and I guess I really do believe, I mean, I guess you can win solo. I mean, I win solo, but I win so much better as a team. I win so much better when the women in my life can come to me and they know that I'm really going to authentically cheer for their success. I win because I have women in my life that I think will authentically cheer for my success. And so it doesn't have to be about me being the best. And it really doesn't have to be about me being the smartest. Think about that. If you feel like you have to be the smartest person in a room, how much pressure you have to be under.
Yeah, that would be incredible amounts of pressure. Crushing, probably.
Probably crushing. And I don't want to be under that much pressure because I really would rather be happy. I would really rather have joy and celebrate the success that I can and grab success where I can. And I've been very successful. But I would rather, I really, in a lot of ways, you know, I'm a leader and I lead in a lot of things. And I get pointed to leadership roles often. Do you want to join our thing? Do you want to be on our, you know, and I get asked to do that a lot. But I truly, or I try to at least purposely once or twice a year, join an organization that I'm not going to be the leader. And even if they ask me to be the leader, I kind of don't want to be the leader. I don't, they can plan it. I'll just show up, hands on deck. What do you need? And I do it purposely to, again, recalibrate my scales back because I have to have that balance. I can do all the gifts and all the skills and all the things that I am and designed to do and empowered to do and love to do. But if I don't have the balance, then I'll burn out. And I don't want to burn out. And so it really does require that I spend time charging up the hill, but I also spend time behind the person charging up the hill.
Pull me up, baby. Yeah. Well, I think this is really interesting. I just want to, this is an interesting little factoid. So they found that when a leader's IQ rose above 128, that they were actually less effective as a leader. So they're saying here that it's possible to be too smart to actually lead effectively. And they hypothesize that maybe it has to do with, you know, having this high IQ means you might struggle to understand other people's challenges, or maybe you might lack communication skills. But actually being super, super smart doesn't necessarily make you a great leader.
No, don't they say something like the C students run the world?
Yeah, well, think of all the dropouts who are now billionaires, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It gives us all hope.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I'm definitely not a card-carrying Mensa person, but anyway, well, anything else do you want to add to this topic before we close up today, Amy?
I could go on and on about it because it really is the passion of my heart. It's just, it's really this idea of it. So
I think being a mom helps you learn how to cheer others on.
I don't know. Moms are competitive too. Are you kidding?
Oh my gosh. I'm thinking about those, like those dance moms and those TV moms and those
soccer moms. I'm one of those. I mean, no, moms are competitive too. I mean, it's a competitive, that's even more interesting because it's like this whole like bear mentality.
Like thinking about your kids getting a scholarship when they're two, you know, and they barely can do Little League yet. And you're like, you're going to get that scholarship, son.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, you know, I've watched parents burn their children out by wanting, having this super competitive edge. And, you know, there's been horror stories out there about parents. I mean, I don't know. I think that, you know, I think I learn as much from my children as they've learned from me over the years. And, you know, they teach me, usually in my failures, where I failed as a parent is where they have shined. And I failed many times as a parent. We could, you know, they'll go to therapy one day and talk to their therapist about it. But, you know, I just really was just struck the other day by my son. Just it was just so natural that he didn't think about it twice. And I want to be more like that, where I don't think about it twice. It doesn't upset me. We're at the point that I don't even get triggered by it.
I feel like we always get back. I don't know. So many of our talks come back to this idea of self-compassion, of being kind to yourself, because I feel like you can't give away what you don't have. So if you're constantly beating up yourself inside, it's really, really hard to give away generosity that you don't apply to yourself.
You know, I get a lot of that with the clients that I work with at Lady Biz Whiz. And, you know, they, especially in the first meetings, usually is that they want to spend 15 or 20 minutes telling me
all the ways they failed,
all the ways that they're failed, all the ways that they're not adequate, all these different things. And I said, well, okay, well, and that's what I tell them. I said, well, first of all, if you had all the answers, you wouldn't have me sitting here. But second of all, you don't know what you don't know. And I said, and that's not where you beat yourself up for what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And I'm here to impart what I know to fill in the holes of what you don't know. But I tell them all is, you know, especially if they start circling that narrative that they're less than, that they're inadequate, that this is too big a thing, this is, you know, they're too much for this, their brains, I mean, just all the things that women can say. And I said, you know, and I tell them, I said, look, I said, you are not going to be successful at this business venture if that is the loop that runs in your head. I said, because I said, you will fulfill what you meditate on. And I said, so understand you don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, but you've hired me to help you fill in the holes. And I said, some of them, both of us don't have the answers, but you know what? We can go find the answers because I don't know every industry, you know, off the top of my head. And I said, but what I want people to understand first and foremost is it's not in what they don't know, it's in what they're willing to learn. And when they spend time downing themselves for what they don't know versus embracing the fact that they've made a wise decision to get help where they need help, that's the wisest decision they've made. That does not make them less than. And I wish a lot of people would do that, not only for my own business or what I'm doing, but I wish a lot of more people would do that and understand that how much money can be saved by not to a new business by having somebody come alongside them that have made all the right choices and all the wrong choices at their expense? Because I've made all of them at my expense. I can save you thousands of dollars from making bad choices.
I think the wisest people in the world know how to learn from the mistakes of others.
Yeah, and well, say, I mean, it's really the. That's the easiest way to learn is learning off the mistakes of others. It's much easier than learning off your own mistakes.
There again, you have two kinds of people. You have one that says, you say, don't touch the stove. And they're like, I got to touch it. I just got to feel what it's like to get burned. And then other people that go, oh, well, she got burned. I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like when I think about my kids, I have both. I have the ones that have to touch it and experience it. And then ones that go, oh, all right, you touch it. I don't need to do it.
So I don't know. Human, you know, and I'm by no means a psychologist or you know, or anything like that. But I do find it interesting. But most of that dynamic always seems to come from my women business owners. My men business owners, they're the other way. They're like, they're wanting to touch, you know, every corner of the world, and I'm reining them back in because.
Oh, this is interesting. Let's talk more about this. Okay. So you're trying to empower a woman and you're facing up all this. I'm not good enough. Or I'm too much or this or that. But then you go with a man and it's more like, I've got these huge dreams. Like you said.
Yeah, they're stratospheric.
They're way in the stratosphere, and you have to kind of rein them back in. Okay, bring it back. Let's bring it back.
Yeah, I'll pick one or two. And we're back here. We still have to sit between 10 and 2. I mean, we still have to kind of, you know, no matter, you know, extremes on both sides is right. Not what makes, you know, it's when that pendulum kind of runs down the center is best. But yeah, so it is different because I do work with men and women. And I do work with a couple clients. There's a couple.
Right, with couples who are running businesses together.
Running businesses. Bless them. To, you know, they get all the prayers. So I've done that with my husband. And so anyway. But, you know, it's funny when I'll talk to the, you know, address what the woman's feeling. I can see the husband sitting or the, it's like, yep, I agree with that. And, you know, and a lot of times, you know, it'll be funny. The husband will leave the room and the wife will be like, I just... Really, it was great to have him acknowledge that I, you know, it's very interesting, but I'm like, yeah, but men don't suffer with that as much as women do. Men don't really, not that men don't get depressed and things like that. I'm not,
or don't have insecurities.
Don't have insecurities. But men are typically, decisions made, move forward. Decisions made, move forward. I mean, typically, again, these are huge general, so don't write me nasty emails saying that I'm super decisive, because I am super decisive. But it's always interesting to me that, you know, because I can't run a business either way. If I have too many points to touch, we can't touch all of them. So that doesn't work. And if I have somebody who can't make the first step because of self-doubt, or, you know, I can't make that work either. I mean, I kind of have to have a balance, but it is funny to me and it's fascinating. But I do tell people, I say that, you know, the smartest thing you have done, and it's not just by hiring me, it's hiring somebody who's smarter than you. And that kind of, I think, circles us all the way back, that I can fill in the holes which you can't see, therefore making your business successful.
There's so much to be known in the world. There's so much knowledge. I mean, even if we're an expert in one thing, just think about all the things we don't know.
I know.
So to think that, you know, to think for a second that we know it all, or we have all the answers, is just kind of silly if you think about it.
I mean, I think my knowledge would probably fill a bucket, and what I don't know would probably fill an ocean.
Yeah, I mean, I think about, like, okay, what if, I don't know, this is kind of crazy, but what if there was an apocalypse and we were like in a bunker and then we had to come out and like rebuild? Like, how would I know how to build a road? Would I know how to build a bridge? No. I wouldn't know how to do any. So many things I wouldn't know how to do. I can't even start a fire with sticks. Can you?
Like two sticks?
Yeah.
No, I cannot start a fire with two
sticks. So we'd probably freeze to death.
I can start a fire like with a lighter and like some.
Yeah, so we'll make sure to bring a lighter with us in the bunker.
I mean, I do like some, you know, some of those like resin boosting sticks. Those always help me. Or Duraflame logs. You know, kind of. Even better, a gas fireplace.
I mean, really, the switch is the best. But, you know.
I can light a candle.
There's so much I can't do.
With
there's
matches.
So much. I mean, we're trying to fix up the house. Yeah. I got somebody come repair the tub. I got an electrician. I got, you know, I don't know how to do any of this stuff.
Now, I could start a fire with like sunglasses or eyeglasses, like a magnifying glass.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to do that.
I can do that.
On air for the next, sometime in the next couple of weeks.
You're going to describe it. As we sit in the backyard finding the light to make a fire.
Well, this has been fun, and I know there's so much more to talk about regarding this issue, this topic. If you have any questions on this topic of empowering your team, and maybe you're starting out in your business and you kind of just got to the point where you have some people around you, or maybe some employees, and you're facing some difficult issues with just how to build those relationships and empower the people that are around you with the vision that you have, please reach out. You know, this, we have questions@ladybizwiz.com is the email.
You can also go to ladybizwiz.com. There's a fill in thing. If you have specific questions you want to talk to me about with your business, you can fill that in just in the comments, say heard you on the podcast and what you're interested in. That'll send me directly an email as well.
And Amy, real quick, you're running a special for, I mean, what is your rate for the four sessions that you do? Tell us about your packages right now.
So right now I have three packages. I've got basically a 3-hour brainstorming session where you get 1 hour, it's $4.99. You get 1 hour where we kind of talk about your business. We kind of identify things that you need questions or answers to, identify kind of a path. About a week and a half or 2 weeks later, we get back together for 2 hours. I've done some research on your industry. I've done some, you know, what your next steps are. So you have homework after the first hour that you've got to go out and do, and then you come back and we kind of put it together. And then, you know, we create the next 3 or 4 steps that you're going to need to get that idea moving down the road. I do have a 5-hour where you can work with me more intensively. It's $1,000 a month. It's 5 hours a month. It's really not structured like 1 and 2 hours. It's 15 minutes here. I'm not super great at tracking that, but so it could be like 7 hours depending on when I get going. But it's like, I've got a lease. Can you review my lease? I've got questions on how to set up the corporate stuff. And it's really more one-on-one interactive. I take phone calls, text messages, look at packaging, just different things, help you, you know, figure out best space to get your website up. That one is, you know, again, it's working side by side with definitive goals at each month. So I'm really big about goal oriented. So if we have this, we're going to be doing this by the end of the month, then that's really what we're working towards. And we pick one or two things each month to work towards, so that you have successes. So, you know, I feel like success breeds success. And I feel like when you're having successes, it gives you the momentum and the motivation to go to the next success. And all of it's detailed on ladybizwiz.com on the business product packages, I guess is what it's called. It's a tab. Also, our podcast is all on our website too. That updates on
weekly,
weekly on our website, and you know, more information about us. But there's plenty of ways to reach out. We'd love to hear. We're always trying to come up with future topics to this. So
absolutely. So it's only mid-February. If for some reason you've gotten distracted, you set some goals last month, and you feel like life has just gotten in the way, do not give up. Do not be discouraged. It's only mid-February. We still have a long year to go here. It's not too late to get started on a new business plan. Reach out to Amy. Build a team. Be encouraged today. You're definitely not alone. And we love you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.